Dear ones, as we have assembled together and before we open the word, let's bow our hearts in prayer. Lord, we pause to give thee thanks for this day that thou hast brought us through and to this moment, Lord, where we have gathered together in this place of worship, a place that was dedicated for the worship of thy great name. Lord, we have assembled here. And thy word is before us, and Lord, may it really be even as the hymn that we have sang, that the word and its power may reveal the new man that it creates within us. And so, Lord, gather our thoughts, gather our hearts together. We pray a blessing upon the reading and upon the meditation of thy holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There was for this evening's reading and meditation desire to read from the Gospel of John, chapter number 9. The Gospel of John, chapter number 9. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore and they which before had seen him that he was blind said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. May God bless our reading. Dear ones, in the chapter that we have read together, chapter 9 of the Gospel of John, we see at the core of this is faith and what it looks like. What it cost a man to believe in Jesus as his Savior. In that time, when anyone was excommunicated from the temple, as they cast this man out, what that meant is that you would be completely separated. You cannot go there. You can't worship. Not only is it religiously that would happen, but you would be a complete outcast even socially. No one would be hiring you. No one would be helping you. You'd be on your own. And so this man, as we see later here, the man who was born blind and was given his sight was separated from or cast out of or excommunicated from temple worship. But we see this man sitting at the gate. He really sat at the door of the temple. He never really could even go in. He made his living by begging. That was how he made his living. He sat and he begged. And as people would walk in, they'd throw some change at him, and that's how he was able to help himself to survive, because he wasn't able to work. It says that Jesus, when he passed by, he saw the man, and he was blind from his birth. And an interesting thing here is asked, they asked Jesus, who sinned? This man? His parents? That he was born blind. Well, if he was born blind, how could the man have sinned? Unless you believe that a baby in the womb can still sin. Or do you believe in that you had lived a previous life and now you're reincarnated? But they asked him the question, and Jesus didn't even go into the depths of that question at all. He simply says that this man didn't sin, the parents didn't sin, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. Jesus' focus is not on the blind man, but on himself. He goes, that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. the night cometh when no man can work. And then he goes, and he already established himself as being the light of the world earlier, and he repeats himself here again. He says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus had already told the Pharisees, and they were already at odds with him because he established and told them that he was God. And they had a problem with that, and they hated him for that, and they tell him he's a sinner. And so it tells us here that when he comes to this man, as they had this exchange, he simply spits on the ground, he spat on the ground, he made clay of the spittle, and anoints the eyes of the blind man with the clay. We know that Jesus could have spoke his eyesight back into existence. He could have touched him. He could have anointed this clay or made this clay and just placed it upon him, and he could have immediately seen. Jesus chose this method. Why, we don't know, but this is a method that he chose. He chose to make clay from his spittle, and he anointed the eyes, but he didn't stop there. He told him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And John tells us here that Siloam means sent. So he sent him to the pool, which is called sent, and he told him to wash at the pool. And dear ones, this is really as we see later the story as it develops, we see a man who was known by everyone that he was blind. And the neighbors now see him. And they say, he was blind. He can see. Some say, well, he can't see. He was born blind. And so this is just someone that looks like him. And there's a debate going on about him. You know, isn't he the one that just sat and begged? He's like him. And then he speaks up and he says, I am he. And so the question says, how were your eyes opened? And I'd like to just make this comparison into, because really what Jesus is establishing in this story is that this man believed in him. As we see him ask the question, we see his faith developing. We see a man who was introduced to Jesus, and he recognized that a man can't do what he did, that he had to been sent from God, and that he has to be a prophet, because a man, he himself says, we know that God does not hear a sinner. And so so we see this man's faith developing, but we see the testimony that he gives. He doesn't embellish this in any way. He doesn't even say that he spat on the ground. He just simply says, a man that is called Jesus made clay. And he anointed mine eyes, and he told me, go to the pool, wash. I went, washed, and I received sight. This is his testimony of Jesus. It was simple. It didn't need anything more. And what I really think of is when I think of this is brothers and sisters, you and I, we also must be looked upon the exact same way as this man was, because our life needs to be a testimony that we also once were blind, but now we see. So that the change has to be so drastic in our life that others would look at us who know us very well and would say, is this the same man who used to be like this? He used to do this, or he's a totally changed person. And for them to really inquire, well, what happened to you? What happened? And the word tells us that we ought always be ready to answer of what had taken place in our heart, the hope that we have, the hope that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we don't need to give some tremendous testimony. We don't need to go so deep into our past That is the focus of our testimony of who we were. The testimony needs to be of what Jesus did in my heart, not what I was. I was born in sin. You were born in sin. This man was born blind. He didn't need to establish anything. He simply said, a man whose name is Jesus, he made clay and anointed my eyes. I washed, and now I see. There was, when we give a testimony of what had taken place in our heart, in our life, what Christ Jesus has done, the focus must be on our Lord, not on me, not on my sinful life and what I did, and I did this, and I did this, and I did this. We don't need to go there. What we need to speak of is who Jesus is and what he has done. That all glory goes to him and that he has taken me out of the miry clay of sin. And it is his life that gives me a life. And so they ask him, where is he? And he said, I don't know. I know not. So they take him and bring him to the Pharisees. And it's the Sabbath day when Jesus made this clay and opened his eyes, it tells us here. And the Jews were so concerned about the Sabbath day that they were going to catch Jesus on the fact that he made the clay on the Sabbath. That's against the rules that they established. This isn't Jesus' rules. This isn't a life of faith in him. This is something the Pharisees established, that you can't make clay on the Sabbath. And Jesus did exactly that. And so so he comes to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees also asked him, now again, the same sight. How did you receive the same question? How did you receive your sight? He said the same thing. He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and I do see. And so it tells us that some of the Pharisees said, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Their focus is not on the fact that a miracle had taken place that no man could perform unless he is a prophet. And they're not marveling. What? You see? They're not marveling at that. They're not marveling at what Jesus, the man called Jesus, had done to this blind man. They're focused on, whoa, he did this on the Sabbath day. So this man is not of God. So where does he get his power from? Who is he? He says he doesn't keep the Sabbath. And so there arises amongst them, how can a man that is a sinner then do such miracles? Because they establish him, if he's not from God, he's from the devil. If he's from the devil, he's a sinner. And so they just brush him off. They blaspheme the name of God by calling him a sinner. And he says, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And so there's a division among them. And so they want to press this man again. They don't want him to go around to telling people that what had happened to him. So he says, what sayest thou of him? They're asking him again. What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? And the man replies, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. So that he received the sight. So now they said they're going to go to the parents. And now listen to the testimony of the parents. They asked them, is this your son who you say was born blind? If he was, then how come he can see now? And so his parents, John tells us, were very careful how they answered. We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. We know not. And dear ones, we see parents who were afraid to testify of Jesus. He says, he is of age, go ask him. He will tell you himself. And then John tells us why they said that, because that would leave us pretty perplexed. But he said they spake this because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. The parents of the man who was born blind, who saw a tremendous change. This is the first time that this man could look upon his parents and see his mom and his dad. He's never seen them before. He's never seen the sunlight. He's never seen the landscape around him. He's never seen the temple. He's never seen anything. He sees. And the parents are afraid that they will be cast out of the temple, that they will be outcast, that they will not be able to be employed, that they will not be able to go into the temple. They're afraid of the Jews. And so they are unwilling to witness for what Christ had done in their son's heart, or in his life. Later we see his heart too. But here we're just being shown the physical healing that had taken place. And dear ones, we all in some way, shape, or form run into situations in our life where we are maybe hesitant to speak of Jesus, because it's not perhaps the proper thing to do to still be cool, to still to be the one that, no, I don't go to movie theaters. I'm not interested in those movies. I'm not interested in that rock and roll. I don't listen to that type of music. I don't do that. When they're calling you to go just have a seat. We'll just meet up and we'll just have a drink together. Well, no, I don't do that. Why? I gave my heart to my Lord. My Lord teaches me, instructs me of a way of purity, of a way of holiness, of a way that would separate myself from the world and the things that I used to be involved in. And so it might cause them to raise their eyebrows and look at me a little bit funny, or, oh, and kind of push me out of the way, ostracize me in a way. Because the parents were in that position. Are we ever in those positions where we don't really want to speak of Jesus as these parents didn't? It's not the moment. We don't feel it's the moment. And we are, dare I say it, ashamed. Ashamed. How could this man be ashamed of the man that gave him his eyesight when he had never seen anything before? A grown man. We would look at this and say, how? How could you be ashamed to speak of this man? How can you be afraid that you're going to be an outcast? How can you be afraid when a man who you know is a prophet, because he made a miracle take place, he gave you your eyesight? So we also, dear ones, when we know we were in the miry clay of sin, and we were there, and we know that Jesus Christ, who we read of in the past few Sundays of his suffering on the cross for us, his resurrection and his ascension to glory, he did all of this for me and for you, to take us out of that miry clay of sin and to wash us and to make us white and pure as snow, to redeem us, to save us from hell, that we would be ashamed of him? Or we're afraid to say no because we're going to be mocked or laughed at, be outcast, perhaps not in the way that this man became an outcast in from the synagogue, but outcast, or not really be the ones that that would be looked upon with some kind of a manner in which we would be appear as some of them or just like them. And so his parents refused to say what had happened more. And it tells us here that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Not willing to testify. But they're going into the synagogue. They're going to worship. Who are they worshiping? Who are they worshiping? They're not worshiping God. They don't know God. Brothers and sisters, if we are afraid to speak of who God is, what he has done for us, who do we worship? Who do we worship then? And so, again, they called this man that was blind, told him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And he tells him, whether it be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He says, I told you. And he goes on, he says, what, are you going to be his disciples? Is that why you keep asking me? And they reviled and said, thou art his disciple. We are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses, but for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Well, he told them where he's from. He told them. They didn't believe him. He told them he was from heaven. And so the man answers them. Here is a marvelous thing, that you know not whence he is, where he is from, and yet he opened mine eyes. He knows he will be an outcast here, but he is going to testify. He says, it's a marvelous thing that you don't see what Christ has done. We know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. He took this right out of the Psalms, and I think Isaiah speaks the same thing. And he says, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? The elitists, and they cast him out. And who comes across his path? The one who will never leave him, nor any who testifies of him. Jesus comes, finds him, and says, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Jesus is now developing his faith. He showed him his power. He showed him who he was. And he's going to show him that the reason he sees now is not about, is the life that he is going to live now is not about walking with sight by his eyes, but by the sight of his faith. When he believes in the Son of God, he says, do you believe on the Son of God? And he says, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Thou hast both seen him, and he it is that talketh with thee. He says, I am the Son of God. And he simply said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. We know that what we read this past Sunday, before Jesus' ascension, it says that they worshiped him and he blessed them. Dear ones, when we worship our Lord, here it is again. We find a man that is falling at the feet of Jesus to worship him. Jesus had said that there's only one that you can worship, and that is God. If Jesus was not God, he never would have let him fall at his feet and worship him. But this man worshiped him, and Jesus blesses. Dear ones, when we testify and when we believe, and as this man even said, God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God, so if you worship God, and if you do his will, him, God will hear. And what that means is God will bless. God doesn't just hear and ignore. Those who worship him, who do his will, God hears them, he blesses them. As he did his disciples before he ascended, as he did with with his presence in their lives as they testified of him, as he does, dear ones, today. And the blessings that we receive are not necessarily what this man received in the physical man, to receive healing in the physical man himself. But the blessings that he received, he says, is that he actually saw him, that has seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee, and he worshipped him. And Jesus says, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see. That he would open up the eyes of our faith, brothers and sisters and my dear friends. That he would open our eyes that we would clearly see the Lord Jesus and worship him. That they which see might be made blind. These Pharisees said, we see. And they were blind. And the Pharisees knew what he was telling, what he was saying. So they said, are we blind also? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. And so, dear ones, again, as Jesus said before, he comes to save the sinner, not the righteous. The ones who think that they're good enough, the ones who think that they can work their way through heaven. Because you look at these parents of this man, you look at the Pharisees who were going into the synagogue, they felt that all they needed to do was do something and they would be saved. Faith was far away from them. Belief in the living God, belief in the Messiah, believing in Jesus, serving him, worshiping him, proclaiming him was far from them. Why? Because he spoke directly to them and revealed their hearts to them. And they hated him for that. And dear ones, Jesus reveals our hearts to us today. Every time we open his word, the Bible tells us that it is a mirror for us. He reveals our hearts to us. What do we do with that? Do we just say, I see, and go about my business, being ashamed, not proclaiming him, not serving him, and worshiping him and thinking it's only in the assembly? Because they assembled in the temple, but they weren't worshiping him. If they were worshiping him, they wouldn't have done what they did. They wouldn't have called him a sinner. They would have recognized him for who he was. And so, dear ones, in this chapter, we see that it's not really just those who proclaim themselves to be born again. It's those who are willing to be cast out, those who are willing to suffer, those who are willing to go through whatever the Lord takes him through. There was this man was cast out of the synagogue. Jesus was with him. Jesus won't take him through something, take him to something, unless he takes him through it. Our lives, dear ones, are in his hands. We must have that faith, a faith that removes ourself from the equation, a faith that is completely upon him. This man who had no trade, who had nothing, he was just now received his sight, put his full trust in the one who gave him his sight. And so, dear ones, we also must put our full trust in the Lord who had cleansed us of our sins, who had promised his presence with us every day of our life. And so may our faith take us to that, to that. Even as we see the faith developing of the woman at the well, we see the faith developing of this blind man who was given his sight. So our faith also must develop in the manner in which we are not ashamed of him, in which we're ready to proclaim it, but in which we are also ready to worship him and to obey him, to live a life that is holy and pleasing unto him, so that we would be able to speak of the hope that is within us. This man wasn't afraid to speak to the Pharisees, to the scribes, to those who knew everything. He spoke of the simple faith that he had in Christ Jesus. And may we also, dear ones, always be ready to speak of the faith that we have in Christ our Lord. And not only speak of it, but be able to speak of it when we are questioned because we refuse to get into the things of this world, to separate ourselves from those things which will lead us away from him. May God bless his word in this night upon our hearts. Amen.
Passage from 1 Peter chapter 3 was referenced this evening several times. I'd like to read a few verses from, beginning with verse 12. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is it he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Christ Jesus is the one whom we believe. He's the one who says, I am the light of the world. He's brought us sight. He's brought us salvation. He's the one that, when Christ was brought to the temple, one came and said, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for I have seen the salvation of the Lord. Jesus speaks about sight in another passage, about having our sight being single. I think that is in line with what it says here, is to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. This man that was healed, he maybe lost every earthly advantage, but the Lord revealed himself to him. And he had the Lord, and he had his faith. And he had much more at the end of the story than at the beginning. May we also sanctify the Lord in our hearts, that we would have our affections and our thoughts and our vision and our desire to please only him. Even as we have prayed, not to worry about what men around us may say or the world, but to be concerned and to seek after the things that God can approve. And may he, as we worship him in that way, provide his blessing upon one and all. May God bless his word. Amen.